It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. I'm El Maya Hushim Tara, and we're going to be doing the mailbag today. So let's talk a little bit about, first before we get into that, about all this nonsense that's going around about the masculine and the feminine. And let's talk a little bit more about that. So first off, the masculine and the feminine are equal. Because I know there's been a lot of nonsense and there's been a lot of, what happens is when there's a lot of change about, hatred starts to go up, anger starts to go up, and there have been a lot of men complaining on social media about women telling them what to do, and some of it has started to really encourage abuse, and I really want to be clear, that's a bunch of nonsense. It is not about the man is in charge. I know that pisses some people off, still true. And even the top teacher who teaches this stuff, number one, he says he doesn't believe in any of it. It's just a tool that you eventually discard to get you into, and I can't say for him, this is just for what I'm seeing, is that it's just a tool to get you into more of like the energies of where you are or what are your preferences, because you can choose to nurture one preference over another, your more masculine or feminine energies. Again, there's no such thing as 100% divine feminine, and there's no such thing as 100% divine masculine. You will also go between male or female over the different lifetimes. I've met some woke men who are completely adamant that they've never been a female in another lifetime. They've also never been black in another lifetime. Hispanic in another lifetime. Can you guess which color of skin he was? And all those sorts of things are nonsense. So you have been the entire rainbow of the quote-unquote skin colors. You've been every nationality. You've been every heritage that exists on the planet, that existed on the planet during the different time periods. You have been that. You've been masculine. You've been feminine. You've been a female. You've been male. The whole nine yards. And some people don't like that. It doesn't really change anything. And that's part of the reason why I keep saying that. It's like, you know, it doesn't change anything to have resistance against it. But when people are doing it, they're trying to demand your rights over you or to control things, or they should get their way based on their genitals. That's a load, quite frankly. That's an absolute and complete and total load. So I'm not sure why some of these guys are still, some of the people that are teaching this stuff are still going with it, because the other one who is the second strongest teacher, and again, you know, if you happen upon these teachers, you are very, very lucky, because for a lot of people it doesn't happen. And still within that, you know, he's saying he doesn't know how much of it he believes and he still teaches it, and some people have, you know, glommed on. And quite frankly, that's a really excellent way to tell that they're not there yet. Not the teachers, because they're saying that they don't believe in it. But when people are stuck in sort of those like, I am the feminine or I am the masculine and this is what I get and this is what I shouldn't have to put up with, it's a load. In fact, a lot of your more advanced teachers, they don't look profoundly masculine. They don't look profoundly feminine. And they're utilizing whatever energies that are available to them at the moment. So that's more mastery of your domain. Being the sort of madam, mistress, or whatever it is of your domain. That is, it's having all these different aspects in front of you. And again, I've said in past shows that the 50-50 energy is believed to be the energy of the entrepreneur, which is meaning somebody who has more control over their mastery of the different energies that they're going to be able to pick and choose from. And that's going to be more your advanced practitioners as well, because there are going to be different circumstances. And I mean, if you can't figure out a mat because you have a vagina, or, you know, you don't take care of your kids and they're horribly scarred for life because you have a penis, that's, I mean, extraordinarily limited. And to be held up to those ideas, you know, by somebody else is absolutely ridiculous. So no, you, if you want true mastery, you're going to embrace both the masculine and your quote unquote feminine dynamics. And, you know, they put that in there. Some people don't believe it at all. Some people believe that they were, you know, more groomed towards one way or another. And of course, you know, when you have anybody who's got power in a certain domain, they don't want to give that up. Or if they think that it's going to get them something, they don't like to give that up. So if you have white males who believe that you're supposed to follow their divine masculine guidance and you're never allowed to have a thought for yourself, well, of course, they're not going to want to give that up if they're getting away with that. And do they all get away with it? No. And some are trying really hard to compensate for other things. And you could choose to date that, or you could choose to say no and pick somebody else who's more balanced. And they are out there. So what happens is, you know, when the mind thinks, especially if you've been groomed for a long, long time by certain abusive, toxic people, to think a certain way, then it makes sense that you're going to believe that, or you're going to feel pressured into it. And then if somebody's in that position and they also want certain things based on their genitals, you know, not having to contribute financially to a household, for example, then it's easy to say, well, I shouldn't have to do this or I shouldn't have to do that. So the problem with it is, though, is that you're either stuck with, if you enter into a wrong marriage or a wrong love relationship, if you are quote unquote the female partner, then as soon as you're going to be a lot more prone to having financial hardship if you don't think that you need to financially contribute to a household, or you don't think you need to take care of that aspect of life. Now, some people do luck out and, you know, they're with their one forever and ever and ever. And, you know, whatever has been made so far and he carries her for a while, you know, while she's raising the kids and stuff like that, and he's got her back financially. But after the kids are grown, she's what's known as soul, shit out of luck. And not everybody gets that lucky. So, you know, and there are guys who are like, they want the domestic queen, okay, but unless they're willing to pay and treat the income that's coming in equally as their money, not his money, in a heterosexual relationship, unless that's going to be happening, then she's going to need money, and it's not fair to leave her you know, on the hook for that. Now, some women really hate that. I get it, because they want to be able to be at home and be a housewife. And I got lucky. I was able to be at home and be a housewife. So I got very lucky that way. So, like, how can I say this? Because it's still true. Because if you get divorced, again, you know, those sorts of things can really throw things up in the air. And, you know, is it going to willing to carry you for the rest of your life? And so being good at a career later on is a lot harder than it is to be good at a career when you're young. It's easier to stay at a career and make enough money and then retire, but then you have your baby making years behind you. So all these things need to be taken into consideration, and one partner should not be sacrificing more than the other. And so you'll get guys who say, well, they don't want to sacrifice some of their finances. Okay, but she's sacrificing her entire financial future. You know, so, and some guys, you know, don't want to be at home with the kids, which is fine, because some women really do. But then you still have the question of the finances and how are things going to be divvied up. There is a divorce, for example. What is that going to look like for her financial future? And those things need to be taken into equal consideration. And if they're not, then you have to. And some guys want this. They want a woman who's going to work and contribute financially, which means that he needs to contribute equally to the kids and the housework. And there are other ways to do that. And a lot of guys don't want to do that. Well, some guys are really good at it, actually. So I shouldn't say a lot of guys. Some guys are excellent at it. Some guys even do more of the housework. And some guys are really, really horrible at it. So there are other ways to go about doing things, like taking the load off, like, you know, hiring a housekeeper, for example, and then splitting what's left of the monthly finances. So some people say, well, they can't afford a housekeeper. Okay, but if you have two incomes, even if one is working a minimum wage job, if the other one's working above that, sometimes the amount of, like, how big your house is, if you could get somebody to clean it completely and absolutely in 3 or 4 hours, even if it's, like, you know, double what you're making as minimum wage, it can sometimes be worth it to do that and because it can be easier to keep it up, especially if there's a lot of stuff that has to be scrubbed down. And some people really aren't good at the housework for various reasons. They don't have, they have issues, physical issues in the body that they don't realize that are contributing to hardship and wiping things down, et cetera. So there's different ways to divvy it up, especially if you have a lot of kids and you feel like you can't hire a housekeeper, then working, you know, having a partner who actually works with you with this is important, but then divvying up the chores can lighten the load. And then by the time the kids are teenagers, then absolutely they can hold, like, you know, their own share of, you know, their full, say, family of three children and two parents. That's, you know, the teenagers can hold down, you know, one full fifth of the housework. And it is, you know, I know for some people that's like, oh, but if you look at books on what children are able to do. I never had my kids doing those sorts of things at like 3 years old because I didn't know that was possible. Like, I didn't know that a child of 3 years old could, you know, sweep the floors of vacuuming. Even though I was doing dishes at 3 years old, you know, by hand, I didn't like clue in with my own kids at that age. But if you, so, I mean, I totally missed the boat on that. for that and other contributing reasons. But my kids did help. My daughter was really great about it. But there are different, you know, things that we can sort of like do to help make things work better and work a lot more fair and take the stress off. And Harvard showed a long time ago that kids who help out with chores are actually more likely to be successful in life. And I didn't read the article, so I just saw like that little bit. But what I can say is that they also make better romantic partners, because if you have somebody who's, you know, self-responsible, that's always going to be easier to be in relationship with than somebody who isn't. And that includes, you know, picking up after themselves the whole nine yards. So if you've ever seen somebody who's very messy, it's a lot easier to just drop the clothes into the hamper, even if somebody has to create a new habit. That's always going to be easier to do than somebody who's used to dropping their clothes on the floor and then they have to pick them up after and they don't want to. And it's like twice as much work to drop the clothes on the floor first and then get in other people's way than it is just to put things away in the first place, things left on the counter. It's easier to put them away while they're still clean, and it's a lot more work to wash them down after they've been splashed and then still have to put them away. So people who are started young, for anybody who feels guilty about getting their kids to help with housework, it's actually one of the best things you can do for your children. You know, some people have issues where they do everything for their children because they're scared that the children won't like or love them, and it's their way of keeping the children addicted to them. But you got to be careful of that, because then if you have a child who's not as functional and they grow up, they're more likely to end up with a non-functional partner. And if that happens, that's when you get the nasty in-law child, okay? So, and that's something to consider as well. That's when you get your chances go up that your child hasn't picked appropriately because they can't get what they want in appropriate partner. And that's when you have, and that's a great fear for a lot of parents, that their kid's going to come home with someone who's a nightmare, you know, marry them or have the babies with them, and now you're stuck with them for the rest of your life. Having somebody who's, you know, more functional is going to be a lot better for you. And it gives you more room to be able to do the things that you're going to want to be doing in your life. And it's better for your kids. It's better for the kids that they're going to bring home. And then if something does happen, you have a stronger, more capable family unit that's going to be able to cope financially, that's going to be able to cope physically, you know, emotionally. So you're not, you know, having to move in, for example, because I know health issues are going on the rise and a lot of people are needing help from family members. You don't want to have to live with, you know, we'll be polite and say sucky in-laws, right? Somebody who's, you know, very abusive or toxic, and that's your only option because you can't take care of yourself, or, you know, some other health issue happens. The best way to avoid all those things is, you know, you're the most functional you can be, and you're raising your children to be the most functional you can be, and you pick a partner who's as functional as they can be. And the higher you go with it, the easier life does get, because that is definitely a contributing factor. Now, is there still pain on this planet? Yes. But again, there's a difference between pain because there's different healthy differences of opinions, which I've gone into in different shows. There's a difference between that and pain because people are unresolved and now they're just taking the shit out on you, or they're being, you know, completely irresponsible. You know, you've got clients coming through the house, for example, and not only are they not, you know, putting their dishes in at least the sink, preferably the dishwasher if they're coming through, because anything that's left on the counter looks bad as far as a client goes. That's why, you know, they have the little kitchen area in some offices, but they have it closed off so you're not seeing, like, the dirty coffee cups and stuff like that, because it gives a negative impression. And the higher up you go, the more that people are aware of those things. So ideally, you know, you're putting your dirty dishes in the dishwasher right away if you're working from home, or if a family member is working from home and they have clients coming through. You know, ideally that's happening. But, you know, the more that you go into non-functioning, it's like the house isn't kept clean and you're trying to get clients, but the house is a complete and total style of the time, and a partner doesn't want to, you know, cooperate with cleaning the house, or they think it's giving the children freedom, you know, to never have to pick up after themselves. And that's not freedom, that's irresponsibility. And again, those are two very distinct things. And sometimes people get scared of, you know, feminine people get scared of freedom sometimes, because you'll get codependent men thinking that freedom means being irresponsible, and you can't really rely on somebody who's doing that because things won't tend to work out very well for you. And freedom and irresponsibility are two very, very, very different things. So if you're very responsible, that's actually how you create freedom. So people who are very good at business, they're very good at business because that's part of their responsibility, and that responsibility in different areas to grow themselves pays off, and that's how they have financial freedom. And you'll note, it's not being a nightmare and expecting everything to magically turn out for them that they should. So you have somebody who's a nightmare who's completely irresponsible versus you have somebody who's incredibly responsible and now they're, you know, they're jetting off to the south of France. You have somebody who's very responsible and, you know, they're one of my previous business teachers, I mean, he and his wife travel a lot and they have kids, and his kid is like helping, she's sitting in on like AI courses and stuff like that, you know, to be a facilitator or a teacher, whatever it is that she's doing. And I mean, I think she's still a teenager, you know, and they're a really great family. Like, I love his wife. She's like so wonderful. She's such a sweetheart, you know, and he's amazing too. And he's a very family dedicated, you know, businessman, and they take vacations, you know, like with the kids. So they're involved with the kids. You know, she's a really great mom. You know, I've seen the kids around the courses and stuff like that. And you have those aspects that you can do. So you can have people who are, you know, more pleasant to be around, nice to be around. They have the resources, they have the answers, versus, you know, hanging out with people that just really don't have an interest, and not only don't have an interest, but they're constantly getting in your way whenever you do try to accomplish something. And the lower, you know, that somebody is into codependency, of course, the harder that is to come out of, and the bigger the hurdles. So it's always easier to drive the things that are more serving in us. And, you know, some people you do say goodbye to because it's just going to be too much trouble. Now, with that, and that again can scare some people because they think that they're going to get, you know, rejected and those sorts of things. And here's the thing. It becomes clearer the higher you go. You do have to do it in enough different areas, but it does become clearer who you're going to want to take on and keep versus not, because this is not about, there's never going to be anything to work out whatsoever. I know that's out there as well. like there's nonsense about like, ladies, you are the divine feminine. Unless you are completely healed from all interactions with all previous males, a real man will not want you. Okay, but there's a lot of extraordinarily broken men that you should not touch who are stating that. And if you're, you know, as a divine feminine completely healed, that means you're getting a man who's completely healed as well. It's not just a one thing, and, you know, guys will say, well, that's different in codependency, and it's not. And so it's important to understand with some of those things, like, these are things to aim for. They're not things that you're going to accomplish. If you were completely and absolutely 100% resolved, you would be not reincarnating unless you chose to because you would just be done. You would be one of those very, very few divine beings. You would be Jesus, Buddha, along those lines. And you wouldn't be dating some mere mortal guy who thinks he's a warrior who's trying to dominate you, because that's what his quote-unquote divine masculine looks like. So that's not divine masculine, that's codependency. And Ram Dass said, for those who are trying to get to God, I'm paraphrasing here, you can't get there by holding other people back from touching God. And so if you're holding them down to, you know, sort of like accommodate you and your, you know, masculinity, you're not going to get to God. And that, and if you're a woman who's able to touch God, you don't take that on unless he's like, you know, basically giving what he's asking for. And he's in this like really, you know, reverent, you know, oh my goddess, I bow down at your feet. And he waits on you hand and foot and he peels your grapes and stuff like that. And to be clear, do I think that guys should do that for women? No, not unless they're demanding that kind of nonsense. But whenever people start, you know, demanding that nonsense, you know, are they giving it to the degree that they're demanding it? And if they're not, bye-bye. Okay, just to be clear. So, no, you don't need to fall for that nonsense. And, in fact, it can get away in a lot of things, because when you're actually at the height, there is no dominant person, because it doesn't make sense to you. And you don't want that. Because if they're being dominant over you, they need to hold you down from doing things that are that you already know how to do. If you're a high enough level, you already know how to do those things. It doesn't make sense to give them up for somebody who's not there yet. Or maybe they know in a certain way, okay, but if they don't want to be held back because you're a little bit short in something, like I don't read maps very well, for example, my honey pie is, you know, fine to do that. Now, if I had a guy who, you know, wanted me to read maps, okay, he better be a really excellent fucking house cleaner. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to see spills anywhere, people. You know, and he's really good about those sorts of things. So, you know, there are relationships that, you know, the other person is, you know, moving ahead, and you do have an equal, notice I said equal agreement, that you're both moving ahead. But in those sorts of situations, and this is very common with codependency, the ego will say that they're there when they're not. And that's when you'll get, ladies, you know this one, the codependent male, where they're saying, you know, they just don't believe in that. Yeah, they don't need to keep, you know, don't need to do their housework clean because it's not a big deal. And you get like the dumb codependent voice, and that's not true. So at the highest heights, you know, you're moving forward because that's your responsibility and that's your job. And you're getting somebody else who's also doing that, and they're more focused on doing their own growth work as opposed to trying to change you. And so yours, and when you're, you know, the person being you, you're focusing more on your work as opposed to trying to change them. And there are certain things that you will need taken up because they will need to go further, and there will be certain places where your partner is going to be stuck and you're going to have to be a little bit more giving, or you're going to take those over, or you're going to trade work, et cetera, et cetera. So there is like a dance to it. It's not just a straight, you know, you need to do this, otherwise you're not going to have love sort of nonsense. And for the men listening, again, this works, you know, it works both ways. So this is not, you know, you're doing your half the housework. You told her, you know, that morning, like you're not going to be home till 9 o'clock tonight because you have this appointment or whatever else, you have this networking event, you know, you're sure the housework is done, but she doesn't feel like you should go, you know, and it's her feelings. And, you know, sometimes there's obviously going to be times when you're still going to push that through. Just like ladies, there's still going to be times when you're going to push through, like, no, the house is going to be cleaner because you need that if you're building a business. Or it's going to, you know, harm your home value if it's not being taken care of properly. So, you know, these dynamics are always important to understand, that the higher you go, the more that these demands are made, that a lot of people that are making those demands aren't there, which is really important to understand. And you may just want to choose somebody in some cases with a lot, who's a lot more realistic. And some people who aren't there will say, you know, basic things like, you know, learning to pick up after themselves is highly unrealistic. And again, you let those people go as well. So it's always this, you know, this moving head stuff, this masculine feminine dynamic, a lot of it can seem really scary, but it's not scary when you embrace the health of it, when you embrace the responsibility of it, and you start making the changes within yourself. And yes, sometimes it is, you're going to say bye-bye to certain people, but it's not being so rigid. Like, you know, when you see people who, you know, there are examples of guys who are like, you know, if he asks you out for dinner to take you to a certain restaurant, and you're like, oh, I don't like that kind of food, but I'd love to go out for dinner, and he won't talk to you ever again because you're not following his masculine direction. That would be more an example of, and it can be confusing because sometimes they got the nice suit, right? They have a good business career, but that is an example of somebody who's going to be too rigid to be able to work with. And that can be more, you know, yes, they look like they have the lifestyle, but some of those guys you still get, it can be confusing if they've got a good job, but you kind of know, like, if they weren't sort of like having the job that they had, or if you knew them better, if you were at that level, it would just be too much. In some cases, it may be small, like it may be more subtle, too much to deal with. In some cases, it would be really too much to deal with. In some cases, you know, they're right real slime balls, even though they have a suit, and you can tell that completely and absolutely. You know, and sometimes there are people who are like more there in enough ways, but you kind of get the bad energy off them still. And then there are people who actually just are, you know, more above, and then they have that to work out, you know, because that's pretty basic consideration. She doesn't like that kind of food. Okay, you're going to dump her because she doesn't like a certain type of food. No. And, you know, sometimes these things seem like really, really small, but if you think of it from your perspective, what do you have to do to dump somebody? You know, what kind of pouty mood do you have to go into to dump somebody because they don't like the type of food you want to eat? That's like a really low level power trip. And that's how you know that's something that's good to stay away from. And again, you know, everybody's at where they're at. So for some people, you know, you're, who you choose to keep is up to you. You know, there may be places where, you know, they are worth it in spite of that nonsense. And you can work with them, maybe. So, you know, that's something you have to make up for your own mind, and you are responsible for how you conduct your life, regardless of what I say, you are responsible for that. And you can choose there. So, you know, just some ideas to think about and contemplate. So let's see here. We have Anjali in New York, and wants a general reading. Anjali. So one moment here. Anjali. Okay, so Anjali, that kind of one moment here. So when you're in that sort of space where you're trying to have things matter, you're trying to have things. Okay, so you can do it. Okay, here's the thing, sweetie. I mean, first off, right off the bat, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, like, so nervous system issues. So one moment here. Okay, it looks like you have an idea. Yeah, this is a tough one. So it looks like maybe you might be embracing that idea, but like not letting happiness sort of like be there, and not getting attached to happiness is. So the thing is, like, with that, and this is not complete because I haven't completely figured that one out myself. So I will give you a heads up right straight about that. When you're not getting attached to happiness, one of the things you'll notice is some of the people that are saying like that, like the monks that are teaching it, a lot of them are actually really happy and they're giggling on stage. So number one, right off the bat, you don't want to do the shallow form of being attached to happiness, because some people, they're basically happiness chasers because they're trying to fill something up, within themselves, and that's not really beneficial. And some of the things that they chase are very, very shallow because I think that's what they're supposed to want. And from that aspect, you know, like, and I mean, I want to be clear, and I've said this in past shows, like, you know, drinks with the girls, that can actually have a lot of depth to it, but it really depends on how you're doing it. But if somebody thinks like, you know, but there's a difference between actually being able to connect with and having a good time because you are more heart connected. You do love your friends. It actually does feel good to be around them. And you're replenishing your nature by being around your friends. That is very different than somebody thinking like, hey, oh yeah, patio, drinks with the girls, hey. And all they're more interested in doing is like looking good on the patio. And they think that they're supposed to have happiness that way, but they're not happy internally. And I want to be clear, like, I mean, there are some people who do that. Like, it's just their sense of humor, right? So I want to be clear, I'm completely not against, you know, girls on the patio going, hey, sometimes it's just a sense of humor. But there's actually a lot more depth to them. They just, the reason they're all laughing is because they think it's funny and they're all sort of like mimicking it, you know, like what you think you're supposed to do. And they're having a good laugh over it and they're bonding through the laughter as opposed to like actually trying to make themselves, trying to sort of like create a healthy internal life by drinks on the patio. So there are more, you know, again, more beneficial ways to do things than not. And sometimes when people are, there can kind of be a balance, like it's not about pushing it through, but when you, if you are sort of like not, and you're kind of like letting it go completely, sometimes you can go down and you can sort of think a little bit too much, where you look a little bit more dour. And so what's happening is, you know, and again, this is part of the reason why I was like, okay, nervous system issues, just because of the sort of slink down that's happening. And so, you know, if you, and there are certain issues that people do have in the body that could possibly bring them down a little bit more. And this would be, again, looking at your vagus nerve, the dorsal aspect can do that. I don't know how much it does at subtler levels. I know it does it, you know, at extreme levels. I don't know how much it does at subtler levels, but when, just as one example, but there are certain things, like nervous system issues with fight or flight, those sorts of things, you can have people sort of taking themselves a little bit more. And the problem with it is it's kind of like making it look like you have, like you maybe are having a harder time in life than you are. And again, so it doesn't take much, but like to come up out of that even a little bit, just because you've decided not to like fully relax into your being and your tank down, but if you come up a little bit and you just allow that like happiness and joy to come in there, it'll give you a completely different resting space. Now sometimes there is still a little bit of something that's held in the body, but you know, when you think of like resting, sometimes when you're like going right down and it's sort of like doing more of that pull, and you can hear my voice, it's just kind of like slowed down because people can pull themselves down into that sort of pull down. That sort of thing is going to make it a lot harder for you to navigate the world because we are part of how we tell and sort of like to keep self safe is we do look for people who are more of the level that we're at. So if you're looking to get people who are more resolved in your life and you're wanting those supports, then even a little bit, it doesn't mean you have to like fake happiness and joy, but when you have that joy in there, there's a difference between, you know, hiding out in the joy. Like some people get really, really, they'll ignore situations that they really should pay attention to because they're just ignoring everything to try to be happy. That's not beneficial either, but that's not what I'm asking you to do. It's just like there's a little bit, there's that, it's, and again, it's subtleties, right? There's that smaller difference there between if you're trying to just more rest in what is, there's a difference between resting what is and then just sort of like, you know, throwing your stomach down and throwing your posture down. And you can do this physically, and then the voice starts to drag and gets a little like distorted or whatever, and it sounds kind of like a slow moving video on YouTube kind of thing like that. Because it can cause problems in the personality when there is trauma held in the body, and because it, you know, people don't know how much self-development you have or don't have. Like, those things really aren't beneficial. So they're just basically saying, like, you know, number one, it's okay to have that joy in your heart. Making those distinctions, of course, between having the joy in the heart versus you know, like being a happy chaser or avoiding things. And sometimes, you know, when we're looking at taking things, meeting people where they are, for example, meeting people where they are doesn't mean you have to lower yourself. In fact, some people, when people have a habit of doing that, will say somebody's really trying to give somebody advice and they find that their advice to all these people is consistently ignored. If they're dropping themselves down to the place that they think the other person is and it's too low, what can happen is they can go into, oh, so what can happen is, just to clarify this, we'll say that the person who's doing this is green. So, you know, green's doing pretty good, or at least okay. But she's talking to red, and red is like, you know, doing that voice and like those resonances, et cetera, of, you know, the like sort of haunted person, slow video movement type thing. If green's dropping herself to where red is and she's trying to give advice because she thinks that that's what red needs, and then, you know, orange comes along and orange is better than red, but not by a whole lot. But red can walk off with orange because orange seems like a healthier person because green has dropped herself down too low to try to accommodate that. So, you know, for where you're at, you don't need to do that because people are looking for the next advanced levels. And that's really important to understand, which is sometimes why if you're at the same level as somebody, if it's not enough, they won't recognize it. Or if they're used to it and they don't understand what the level, such as people who've done a lot of self-development work and your kids aren't listening to you and you're like, oh, I know about, trust me, you might want to try this instead. Oh, that's really going to be a hard one for you to go through, pumpkin. You might want to try this instead. And the kids aren't listening because they're just used to it. So they don't think you know what you're talking about. And a lot of people do that. You know, they're millionaires making millions through, you know, doing this business. And their kids don't pay attention. And I'm like, oh, it's just dad. Like, what is he talking about? And I've had a couple of teachers say that. If people don't recognize it, or if you're, you know, taking yourself because you think that's where you need to meet them at, they'll not listen to the advice anyways. And it's probably not what they want anyways, because they want somebody that they can recognize as being out of it enough. So, you know, if you're being with what is, there's a difference between being with what is versus like throwing your stomach down, throwing your posture down, and then making, you know, sort of going down to this again. And you'll notice that, like, you really have to kind of like tank yourself down. And so there is, you know, there are traumas that people can, you know, sort of like go into that down a little bit easier, or they've had a lot of past traumatic experiences and they think that's what people are demanding of them, those sorts of things. And you're basically being told, like, it's okay to actually go for the heights. Like, that's totally fine because it's what people want and need anyways. And there's a lot more fulfilling fulfillment that comes with that. Now, I've seen people, one person who's apparently charging a lot of money as a coach, for example, and she was talking about, you know, how your greatest, you know, stuff comes from, like, you know, your pain and your suffering, and she kind of keeps herself in her pain and suffering a lot to have those breakthroughs. And the problem with that is you just end up repeating patterns after a while where you just keep recreating the same old thing and it won't take you out of it. And the thing is, like, especially when people have had too much experience with the negative, the healing process, a large part of it ends up coming through hanging out with the higher levels, having access to the higher levels, being around that. Now, does everybody understand that? No. Does everybody want that? No. And they may not be able to deal with them in the moment if you're very happy and smiling and giggly, and some people will lash out because they can't handle it. But you can sort of like calm down the laughing, but keeping the smiling space or the happy space, and be like, wow, it sounds like today was really hard for you. How is that going? And, you know, so keeping the happy space, I mean, it's going to, you'll naturally adjust a little bit to whoever you're talking to, but there's a difference between, so, you know, falseness would sort of be like, no, I'm happy, I'm having a great day, your dog just died, oh, isn't it a wonderful day? I mean, that's really fake, right? And we can hear those things. And it's not about keeping to like fake happy, because there will be a natural adjustment that comes, but there's a natural adjustment that just kind of happens in your body when you're not trying to stop it. Oh, look, you're talking to somebody and their dog just died. Oh, okay. How are you doing, sweetie? There's that sort of like natural sort of adjustment when you find out this information, and you're not going into a bad mood or like a lot of pain and suffering just because they're going through pain and suffering. You're just, the natural happiness level that you're at is coming down to more of, it's just naturally coming down to more of the vibe of where they are and what they need. And you can do that without like giving up who you are and, or like, you know, your internal happiness levels. So giving up your internal happiness levels would be when somebody like to completely and absolutely tank themselves because somebody else's dog just died. And again, that's, you know, the codependency, that's your, you know, your fawn response. That's, you know, that reaction that people have because they think they're not good people unless they really tank themselves. If somebody else is going through a hardship, and those people become, I'm trying to figure out how to put this politely. They become very draining, and that's a lot more, polite than what it actually is. But they become very draining to be around because they're always overly tanking themselves down into places where they're not. And so what happens is somebody naturally drops too much. Again, that's a practice, right? It's a practice to drop to wherever they actually are versus doing the fawn response. Because if they think that the other person didn't need it, and you can feel the energy going back up to here as opposed to slow motion radio, if you can do that, you know, and kind of like pull back up, then that's going to be more of like what they need and what they're looking for. Because we're all looking for, you know, the next level, and everybody wants and needs emotional health. Even if they can't deal with it, they're still more likely to take those things from somebody else who is also emotionally healthy. And if you're going into, for whatever your reasons are, down into too much sort of like blasé, blah kind of energy, either you need the practice to come back up. They're saying, like, just tell her it's okay to be up in the heights so she can understand that. But it also will, it can interrupt with how far you can go. It can interrupt with your heights, because one of the really big healing factors for people that some people don't realize is that you can take a healthy behavior and you can do it, and you can put it into a healthy environment, and it actually works well. And that is something that a lot of people sorely need, but they don't either do it because they're scared of getting attacked for it, they're scared of getting rejected for it, they're scared of being one of, you know, those people who's, you know, not depressed, melancholy, lashing out, etc. There's all sorts of reasons people have for fears about being happy, and it's just, people need it, though. And that's the darndest thing. So you're better off to stay at the height and then help the people that want to come out and the people that can't. Again, it doesn't mean taking them on personally, but it doesn't mean tanking yourself either. So if, for example, you had a relative who couldn't deal with it very well, then, you know, you run into her and it's like tank energy, or she goes into attack mode. Then it's like, okay, so it looks like you're having a hard day today. So what's going on with you? And that's it. But it's like more of a natural adjustment, like, you know, for tanking. And then, you know, as you keep showing up, either they'll learn it's okay to let the claws go, or it'll be so threatening that, you know, you may just have to call them on it. And if you're far enough along in the heights, they'll start to address, they'll start to adjust because they need you more than you need them. And that adjusting is beneficial because it's, and this is not about forcing anybody to be happy when they're not, because I see a lot of that too in all these, you know, awakened groups. How do I make somebody who's been miserable for 50 years be happy? You're not going to be able to do that, but okay, pumpkin. You know, and they're the great enlightened one trying to force somebody to be someplace that they're not going to be without a lot of trauma therapy and self-development and coaching and the whole nine yards. but what it is, though, is that because they want you and or need you, they'll make the adjustment because they don't want to lose the relationship. Now, this is not about forcing people into being, you know, phony happy or phony holy or the whole nine yards. It's definitely not about that. It's just that when they have a flare-up, you know, you didn't say that you like their cupcakes. Okay, well, you don't say you didn't like orange peel. I don't like orange peel. I love oranges. I don't like orange peel, you know. And they made this, like, orange cream custard cupcake with all these artificial ingredients. And, I mean, I hate artificial orange, like, flavor. Some of it really, really makes me sick. So somebody made, like, an orange-flavored cupcake with that, and then they put orange zest on top, and I have seen that. I don't know. But it's, like, if somebody was to do that, I wouldn't be able to eat that. It would make me really, really sick. And to say no, sorry, I don't like that. And I explain, and they're like, wah, 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 you know, going through, you know, hissing because they're really pissed off that I don't like, I won't eat their cupcake. And, you know, sometimes just a simple act of, you know, especially if it's a relative, sometimes, depending on who you're dealing with, it can be easier just to say, like, I've told you repeatedly, I don't like orange peel and I don't like artificial orange flavor. Like, seriously, that's it. You know, if you can't deal with that, then you know what? Maybe we'll just end the coffee. And they'll smarten up and they'll be able to do a coffee a lot more realistically next time. Now, does this mean we do this on purpose to, like, make people behave in a certain way? Again, that's codependency, that's manipulation, the whole nine yards. That's battering, and that's the last thing that a lot of people in those, like, because you don't like the kind of cupcake that you can't eat because it tastes too gross and makes you really sick. You know, when people are in those positions, they probably can't take anybody messing with them anymore, and then because they tend to, you know, irritate other people, a lot of people tend to like to mess with them, which keeps the cycle going, and then they take their stuff out on other people, which makes people like to mess with them more, and, you know, there's all those sorts of things. So we're staying away from, like, all those manipulations because we're going to keep the energy clear. but, you know, when we're doing those sorts of things, when people are helpfully adjusting, you know, because we're just not going to sit there and get attacked over an orange, artificial orange-flavored cupcake, you know, things can go a lot better, and then they sort of, it can sort of break through to some people that they've got a safer place to practice doing something more beneficial. Whereas if we're consistently, you know, trying to make something work with, by over going into this kind of mode. And I'm not saying you're doing that. They're just kind of, it's just kind of like taking you down somewhat. I'm just doing it more in excess so you can see, because I'm assuming it's beyond what you're doing. But just, you know, like, from all these different points, it's always better to be able to just, you know, keep to where you are. And when we're dealing with other people, understanding that, just knowing how to sort of, like, work with it a little bit in the subtle energies, and make things work a little bit better. And it can make your life a lot easier because it'll help you to attract, you know, and keep people that you actually want to keep and can help you to be in communities. And again, I give you a lot here, 21 minutes of it, wow, or something like that, maybe even more, maybe even you got a half hour, just so you understand all those differences, because basically in the end, like, it's okay to move ahead. And that's something I want you to understand, everybody to understand, because that's always going to be the most beneficial thing for everybody, even if they don't understand it yet. So good luck, Anjali. Thank you so much for writing in. And again, there is the replays, so you can go and you can listen to this all over again, because that was a boatload of information and a lot of subtleties. So good luck. And we are almost at the top of the hour here. So let's see. It's going to have to be something that's going to be really quick here, just because we are so close to the top of the hour. We have Kelly in South Africa. One moment here. So Kelly in South Africa wants to know if I see any new work opportunities coming their way soon. So one moment, Kelly in South Africa. And please let me know if you're male or female. It just makes it a little bit easier to find you, or however you identify. I'm saying that just because in North America there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with that. It just makes it a little easier to find you. So one moment, Kelly in South Africa. Do I see any new work opportunities? Several. Like, I see four. Even the best one that looks like that, it looks pretty shady, and you're going to want to be extraordinarily wary. The three lesser ones, I would definitely say no to. There's a lot of, like, really big, scary energies. You seem to have some sort of attachment still to some negative energies. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to go into that a whole lot more because we're almost at the top of the hour. But you really need to cut ties with a lot of those negative energies. And let's see here. Yeah, it's like really, really big and negative. So I have done readings in the past for somebody from Africa, and and she was talking about like the really big heads in the feeding of those sorts of things. And so I'm not – it's like there's big energies, but – yeah, making those distinctions between what's going to be serving for you versus what you really need to stay away from. So, yeah, the three that, like, seem kind of – you're not going to be the happiest about, I would – but even one that you do seem like you're going to be happy with. Hold on. So one of them's not going to let you go. Like, it's just going to keep you sort of like trapped in it. Number three. Yeah, they're really not good. Like, it's like you're going to have a hard time extricating yourself from the situation. One situation is not going to let you go. And then the fourth situation, hold on. Yeah, and then the fourth situation that doesn't seem as bad looks like it may take more of a toll. I would really suggest you call Jane Phillips. She's on Mondays. I think she's at 2 p.m. PST. I would really suggest calling her and making sure that you're getting, like, all old attachments. Take a pen and paper with you when you're on the air with her so you can write down the process and then do it after, anytime you're running into things that you wouldn't. I really would suggest that you be careful right now in terms of looking for work. I don't like your work opportunities. And the one that I'm thinking is like, ooh, stay away from that one. Like, obviously, you don't think of it's a, of it is a big deal, but it doesn't let you go. So what I would suggest you do is to get the cords cut, remove any curses, talk to Jane. She's really good at that sort of thing. Do that. And then after, because you seem to have like a cord, you've got like a tethered cord, like to a surfboard type thing. You seem to have something like that sort of stuck around your ankle and it's keeping you connected to things that I would really rather see you part from because they're not very good for you. And then after that, it seems like your work opportunities would be a lot more viable. So please, 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 and I'm saying this with all seriousness, call Jane first. Get all cords, curses, attachments removed before you look for work. And then it looks like it'll be easier for you to be able to tell which situations that you want to stay away from, which would be extraordinarily beneficial for you. And then it looks like it'll be okay after that. But until the cords are cut, curses removed, the whole nine yards, I would suggest avoiding looking for work. So thank you, everybody, for calling and writing in. Just one moment here. Sorry, I just got to cut the cords from that reading because there was a lot of really bad energies. And I want to be clear, Kelly, I mean, you're a sweetie pie. I mean, like, completely and absolutely. But I'm going to have to just cut that off there. So thank you so much, everybody, for writing and calling in. Again, my name is Elmaya Hoshi-Amtara. I'm here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. You can listen to me while you're in your commute. And you can go to my website. That's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. And you can always find me here every single week at newsforthesoul.com. Thank you so much, everybody. You can write in your questions as well. And I will talk to you soon. I love you. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.